This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name's Ian Murphy. I'm here today at Fujitsu with Rob Norris.
Good morning, Ian. My name's Rob Norris. I have the pleasure of heading up Fujitsu's cybersecurity business across EMEA.
Cybersecurity is very much one of those things that vendors either shout about a lot or they keep quite quiet about. And Fujitsu's on that second group. They've always been quite quiet about their cybersecurity business. Can you give us some ideas to the size of the business, if possible?
If you look at your Fujitsu's business, so Fujitsu has been in security many years. If you look at the EMEA business, as a great example, roughly about 50% of the business has been government and defence. Those organisations, we secure the UK borders, so those sorts of organisations do need cyber security. So it's something that we've been doing for a long time. We've not really spoken about it. In terms of numbers, we roughly have about 350 dedicated security specialists across EMEA. A large proportion of those, about 220, are actually based in the UK. In terms of numbers, Fujitsu as an organisation does roughly about $1 billion in security globally, of which the EMEA plays an important part in that.
Are you seeing enterprises looking to just outsource all their cybersecurity to vendors like yourself, or are they looking for more of a partnership in cybersecurity at the moment?
I think it's a partnership. We're seeing organisations are more aware than they've ever been around cyber attacks. Certainly what we're seeing is organisations recognise that they need to take some level of ownership, for cybersecurity internally. And really what they're looking for, certainly the conversations I have, is more of a partnership or an extension of their security organisation by working with organisations like Fujitsu. Government are tending to insource more, but again, recognise that could isolate them. So one of the things we're also seeing is people want more of a partnership to get that sort of global view as to what's happening in the cyber world and to make sure that organisations aren't isolated in their response.
How much does that entail passing skills across? Because if we look at enterprises, they are so skill short at the moment around cybersecurity. It's not just a weakness for the whole industry, but actually there's a lot of people around who make claims to skills but actually don't have the practical skills. They've read a few books, they've been on a course, but they've never had to do the forensic trace of an attack. Are you finding customers looking to you for helping them skill up their own staff, or is it about a multi-tier approach where they'll do, if you like, front-end grunt work and you take over the more complex side?
It's a mixture. It's predominantly the latter, in terms of people are looking for multi-skilled. Again, it all depends on the size of the security department within an organisation as to what they'll do themselves versus what they'll look to partner. But certainly we are seeing with the skill shortage, people now looking more and more for a level of support or a level of information from organisations like Fujitsu in terms of how we can help them better protect themselves.
Are organisations taking on cybersecurity staff, or are they just looking to build partner relationships?
Again, it's both. One of the issues you're now seeing is there is a multitude of new entrants coming into the market, all calling themselves security companies, all professing to have experts that have done it for many years. What we're seeing is there's a definite skill shortage. Many organisations would like to take on board employees to do security, but I think one of the other things we're starting to see now certainly is the pressure on salaries. There is a strong demand for people. More organisations coming into the business, that's just causing even further problems. So I think there are a lot of organisations out there that would love to have their own personal cybersecurity experts, but again, affordability is starting to come into that. Even if they could get them, could they afford them? And I think that's becoming a big problem.
How does that affect people like yourselves? Are you starting apprenticeships around cybersecurity? How are you bringing in new people into the business without finding yourself shelling out large sums of money and getting into a fight with your competitors?
We're doing a number of things, and actually we've been doing them for a number of years, so this isn't new to us. Fujitsu is probably one of the biggest organisations, certainly in the UK, in terms of bringing on board industrial trainees, well over 100. In terms of security, certainly for the last 3 years since I've been running the business, we bring in about 6 people into our SOC that are industrial trainees. We also bring graduates in to the SOC as well and train them up, so we start at the bottom. And that, the great thing with us, because of the work that we do, they don't have to then stay in the SOC. They can become consultants, they can become security officers on our customer sites. So there's many very different roles that people can do, but you have to, if you just go to the market and look for the experienced people, one, you'll struggle to get them, and two, it will cost you a lot of money. So you have to make that investment early on. We've been doing it for quite a while now. We'll continue to do that. And at the same time, what we're also doing is we're working with local universities, technical colleges. We're sponsoring people's last year doing a degree. So actually, we have people that want to come into cybersecurity and into Fujitsu in terms of meeting our requirements.
That sponsoring a degree is something that we haven't seen a lot of for quite a while when we look at industry and its support. The military still does it, but actually commercial companies have in the main pulled back a lot from that because of the costs. How easy is it to select the right candidates? Because I'm sure once you say you're sponsoring, you're inundated with people who want to be on the course.
It's difficult. I think one of the things that we've tried to do is we will go and work with the cyber universities because of our SOC being in the north of England. We actually work with Lancaster University. What we'll do there is work with cyber students. So straight away it helps if you can actually funnel to the right people. But there are some very good candidates. And actually we are now starting to see a lot of organisations. SANS is a good example of what they're now starting to do with graduates. We are seeing a lot of more interest for the people. And for me, that's one of the things that we do is we go out and spend a lot of time in the universities talking to students so that we can actually select the right individual. It's not easy.
If I turn it back to the enterprise at the moment, one of the challenges many of them have is cybersecurity on their own site. They were getting to because it was part of IT's general remit. As they've moved to cloud, be that either public cloud or hybrid cloud or even a private cloud instance, they struggle because they can't physically touch it. Are you finding that that's an area in particular where they need a lot of assistance, or is it just about making sure they understand the policies have to align both sides?
Certainly for us, we're seeing a lot of the growth in cloud services. IT departments are now becoming more awake to who might be using cloud services in their organisations. The first thing is, do organisations really understand who's actually accessing cloud services from in their IT departments? We're certainly seeing a lot more interest in that in terms of helping organisations better understand that. And at the same time, what we're finding is that, you're right, a lot of this is about education, of making them understand where the data sits, who might be accessing that data, how that data is protected. All of those are sort of questions I think people are now waking up to and probably haven't thought about in a previous life. Cloud services become prevalent in the market. That's going to be something that I think people will be called upon more and more to provide consultative services around making sure that information is protected.
One of the things that we've seen in the last year is the growth of cloud service brokers. Part of that software is going out there and it's setting a value against those cloud services to enable companies to say, well, instead of you using Dropbox, use Box. We think it's more secure. We have a subscription. So they're trying to move their users over gently. You have a threat intelligence unit. You have a lot of very skilled people here. Are you seeing a pull from customers who say, look, we can see all these cloud services being used? Which of these are enterprise secure? Which of these should we be moving customers away from? Or are we still at a point where companies are saying, oh, it's cloud, we just give them access?
Certainly what we're seeing, and probably in the last 12 months, with GDPR coming down, the more forward-thinking organisations clearly understand what that means and actually understand what that means for them in terms of what they need to do. And what we're now seeing with our threat services is we're being asked to go and look at some of the vendors that might be out there and organisations and partners that might be out there working with an organisation to vet their security. What we're now seeing, and I've recently come back from Israel where I met a number of threat intelligence organisations, they're now developing feeds that will allow an organisation to look at the partner organisation or supplier they may be using to see how secure they are. So certainly one of the things that we're seeing now is people are starting to look at the ecosystem in a lot more detail as to where they buy provision services from as to how secure those organisations may be.
How does that play into the products that customers have on site? If we look at some of your competitors, they built very extensive security platforms. If we look at the reality for most customers, it's a mishmash of bits and pieces from everybody. Both have their own faults. You can have a big platform, but if you don't align it properly, there are fault lines which are easily exploited. If you have a mishmash of products, the problem is how do you bring them together internally, spot the faults, and make sure that you overlap. What do you see from an enterprise side when you go into companies?
A lot of organizations have invested quite heavily in tooling. A lot of that tooling actually hasn't been deployed, or has been deployed, but is basically sitting on a shelf and not being used. What we're now starting to see is organisations trying to almost get a single pane of glass that starts to pull together the information feeds that they're getting from the various tools and try to make sense of them. And when we look at our consultative services, we're seeing growth in that area where organisations are just bringing us in to almost do that sanity check, to health check what tooling they've got, how that tooling's been deployed, and then are they getting the value and the information that they need to run their business from that tooling. So certainly I think it's something that we're starting to see more people focus on. That's because what you're now starting to see is the board is starting to ask more questions of the IT department, the security officer, as to how secure they are, rather than just deploying the tools and putting the tick in the box and saying that we've got the tools, so we've got an information feed, potentially we have the information at hand. They're now being asked to prove it. So I think certainly we're seeing that in terms of a trend to help organizations better understand that.
How well integrated are SecOps teams inside most enterprises? They've lived on their own for a long time. Are they becoming better integrated, or are they still still an entity responsible only to themselves?
Again, it's a mixture. You know, certainly some of the organisations I've been out to, and again, it depends on sector. When you're talking to the critical national infrastructure organisations, they clearly understand the value that the security organisation can bring to the business. And normally they're front and centre of the business in terms of, you know, providing information to the wider business to enable them to actually work. If you then go into retail organisations, they're now starting to get better. If you look at the DDoS attacks and if you look at the ways that the retail organisations have been hit of late, what you now start to see as people understand cyber threats and as they become more prevalent, then yeah, we're definitely seeing the security teams being brought more front and centre to an organisation, albeit non-business critical type organisations. Yeah, we've still got a long way to go there in terms of, you know, getting those teams working better together.
You mentioned earlier that boards are starting to ask more questions. Cybersecurity is quite a challenge for most boards. They're used to throwing a bunch of money at a problem. Maybe 1-2 years, problem goes away, they can focus on something else to improve the business. Cybersecurity is an every year bigger chunk of money. It's rather like trying to solve the NHS for government. Are you beginning to see boards understand that this is an ongoing problem, or are boards still stuck in the, we've thrown you money, why haven't you solved it?
Boards are certainly starting to look at, as I said earlier, that they're now asking the question more formally of their IT departments, the CIO, the security officer, as to how secure they are and can they prove how secure they are. Boards are more aware of the risk that they're taking on a day-to-day basis in terms of cyber and how cyber issues can affect the business from performing. But for me, there's still a long way to go in terms of boards really understanding the level of investment that they need to put into cybersecurity. And I think the great thing for me now, and it's sad to say, if you look at the amount of attacks that are happening on a daily basis, I think the one thing boards now realise is the issue is not going to go away. They now realise that they need to have a continued spend, and it's not something that you fix and forget about. You actually need to continue the investment and continue to look at different areas of security just to ensure that you are secure.
IT's always struggled to get its own seat at that top table of the board. Security is seen as a subset of IT, but actually it needs to get to that top table. Are you seeing enterprises starting to finally understand that, or is it still a case of we will go through either the CISO or go through finance often to get all the way down to IT?
I think the boards now see IT security quite clearly. Good example, if I look at my diary, in the next 2 weeks I've got to go to 3 board meetings and talk to extended boards, so not just the board but the actual investors. So I think what you're now seeing is investors of organisations or advisory boards are now asking the question of the board director, the chief exec or the CIO, as to how secure that organisation is, which means now that if you look at some of the organisations we work with, it has to be front and centre of that chief executive or CIO's agenda. People have been pulled in more and more, and actually if I look at where I am over the next few weeks, I'm really there supporting the CIO, who has to explain what's going on from a security posture of that organisation. For me, we're seeing, and the types of organisations we work with, more and more boards no longer treating it as that it's an IT problem, it will go away. It is something that actually they need to be knowledgeable of, they need to understand. And if you look at some of the attacks where it's the chief executive that's in the firing line, I think they now understand that. Therefore, they know that they need to get that level of information, so they have to treat it a bit more importantly now.
Rob, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.